Today's daf is Brachis Daf Chof Dalet, and we are 13 lines from the top of Daf Chof Dalet Omer Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Zora Al Diso. So the Gemara is going to discuss another halacha in Hilchas Kriyishma. Boyim Minei Rav Yosef, Reid Rav Nechundim, Rav Yehuda. Shnayim Shiyashena B'mita Achas. Two people were sleeping in the same bed. Mahu, what's the halacha? Sheze yachzer pon of yikr kriyishma, veze yachzer pon of yikr kriyishma. Could they both face in opposite directions and recite kriyishma? Now, it's mavur in the Gemara and the Rishonim a few things. Number one, the case was where both of them were not wearing any clothing. Meaning, if they're wearing clothing, it's pasha they could say kriyishma. Additionally, it's talking about where their bodies are touching. If their bodies aren't touching, then it would also be pasha that they could say kriyishma. Additionally, the question was only if they're facing opposite directions. Ma'usha zeyachzer pon of yikr kriyishma, v'zeyachzer pon of yikr kriyishma. Because if they were facing the same direction, then it's pasha that they wouldn't be able to say kriyishma. And the reason is because the makam erva would be touching, and it's pasha in that case, they wouldn't be able to say kriyishma. So what was the question? The question was, if two people are in the same bed, they're both not wearing clothing, their bodies are touching, but they're facing in opposite directions, meaning their backs are touching. Could they say kriyishma in that way? Or could they not say kriyishma in that way? Amalei. So Rabbi Yehuda told Rabbi Yosef Reid Rav Nechunya, I'll tell you what I heard from my Rabbi Shmuel. Hachi Amar Shmuel, v'afilu ishto yimoy. It's okay. And it's okay even if that other person is the person's wife. Meaning, it's pashit that it's okay if it's just another person. It's even okay if it's the person's wife. Askel of Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef heard what Shmuel said, and he said, "Ishtoi v'loimi boi achar." Doesn't make sense. Shmuel said it's okay if it's somebody else, and even if it's his wife. Meaning, it sounds like it's a bigger chiddush that it would be okay if it's the person's wife. Adarabo, ishtoi kegufoi achar lav kegufoi. A person's wife is kegufoi, so it makes more sense that it would be okay if it's the person's wife. If it's somebody else, that's where it should be a problem. If you take a look at Rashi seems to say that the issue of saying kriyishma in this way is not so much because it's inappropriate. It's more related to the machshava that the person might have by virtue of the fact that he's in this position. And if he's going to have a bad machshava while he's saying kriyishma, it's the hearer that's the issue. And it's from that standpoint that the Gemara is arguing by ishtoi, there's probably less hearer. And as a result, argues the Gemara that if anything, it's more pashut that it should be okay with ishtoi. L'maisa, what the Gemara seems to say is that it was a machloikis between Shmuel and Rav Yosef. So again, the question was, Shnayim shiyashena b'mita achas mau sheze yachz upon of yikr kriyishma v'ze yachz upon of Yikr Kriyishma. Shmuel said it's okay, afilu ishtoi. Rav Yosef said that it's okay for ishtoi, but it's not okay if it's somebody else. Says the Gemara, even though it seems to be a machlokes amayram, we really have braises that discuss this issue. There were two people that were sleeping in the same bed, and it came time to say Kriyishma. And again, they're not wearing clothing. It's okay for each one to face in opposite directions and to say Kriyishma. But Tanya Yidach, the Gemara says, but there's another. If somebody's sleeping, his children and his bnei bayis, we'll see what that means, are there as well. He shouldn't say kriyishma. Meaning, it's not enough to just face opposite directions and to say kriyishma, unless you physically have a mechitza, there's a talis, something that's being mafsik between the person and the bnei bayis, you can't say kriyishma. If, however, the family were ketanim, then it's going to be okay. Bishlam the Rav Yosef. Bishlam, according to Rav Yosef, meaning at first glance, there seems to be a stira. There seems to be a contradiction. Here you have a brisa that says, Shnayim shiyashena b'mita achas, zem machzeponov, v'zem machzeponov. They can face in opposite directions and say kriyishma. And then you have a brisa that says, no, unless the people that are there are ketanim, it's not okay unless you have a talis that's mafsekis. So the Gemara says like this, Bishlam, according to Rav Yosef, Leikasha. What did Rav Yosef say? That zem machzeponov yikr kriyishma, v'zem machzeponov yikr kriyishma when it's your wife, because ishtei kegufoi. But if it's somebody else, you don't have that halacha, so it's very easy to reconcile the contradiction. Oh, b'ishtai. The braisa that says it's okay is talking about where it's the person's wife. Habachar. The braisa that says it's not okay is talking about when it wasn't his wife. Now, at first glance, Just to pause for a second, it's a little tzarech beer. Because which braisa said it's not okay? The braisa that said, Hayoshen b'mita uvanov uvnei beisoy b'tzidor. And that's the braisa that the Gemara said Rabbi Yosef's going to say is talking about where it wasn't his wife. Bonov uvnei beisoy. Doesn't it sound like it's dafka mishpacha? Dafka is his wife? So the Gemara is going to come back to that. But at first glance, the Gemara says you could be madchik that b'nei beisoy doesn't mean ishtoy, and maybe that braisa is when it wasn't his wife. The braisa that says zeh machzapon of yikur kishma, the zeh machzapon of yikur kishma is talking about when it was his wife. But that's all good according to Rabbi Yosef. That said, sometimes yeah, sometimes no. So you can reconcile the contradiction by saying the braisa that says yeah ishtoy, that's the sometimes yeah. The braisa says no, was talking about somebody else. That's the sometimes no. Elul Shmuel kasha. But what did Shmuel say? Afilu ishtoy imoy. Meaning Shmuel said that it's okay if it's somebody else, even the wife. But the point is, it's always okay. So if it's always okay, you have a steer between the two. Shmuel's going to say, the Rabbi Yosef, me, Nicha, I don't understand. According to Rabbi Yosef, you just reconciled this contradiction so fleetingly as if you gave a good teretz. It's not a good teretz, because which braisa did you say is talking about where it wasn't ishtoy? The braisa that says, b'nei beisoy, b'tanya hoi yosha b'mito, uvanu b'nei beisoy b'mito la yikr kriyishma, elam kein hoisa talisoy, mafsak is b'nei. So what, you can tell me that braisa is talking about where it wasn't his wife? It says b'nei beisoy. B'nei beisoy means it is his wife. Meaning I'm not masking to this Teretz, according to Rabbi Yosef. Meaning, to me, it's poshut that the two braises must be contradicting each other. Because the only way you could possibly answer the contradiction is by saying the braise that says Aser is not his wife. The problem is, it says Mefurish b'nei beisoy. Elamai yislach lemeimar. So Shmuel's going to say, what are you going to be forced to say? Ishtelu Rabbi Yosef Tanoi. You have to say there's a machloikis Tanoim going on over here. Nu ledidinami Tanoi. So once you have a machloikis between the two brises, so there's a machloikis between the two brises. So what are you asking me, Akasha? That my halacha doesn't stim with a brisa? Okay. Doesn't stim with one brisa, but it does stim with another brisa. Bottom line is, the Gemara says he can't prove anything from these two brises. So what do we have? We have a machloikis between Shmuel and Rabbi Yosef regarding this halacha. Is it okay for them to face opposite directions and to say Kriyishma? If they're facing the same direction, being that the Makom Ervas are touching, it's poshut that it's not going to be okay. The question is, what if they're facing in other directions? According to Shmuel, it's okay. It's always okay. According to Rabbi Yosef, if it's Ishtoy, Ishtoy Kegufay, then it's going to be okay. But if it's somebody else, it's not going to be okay. We spoke out that it was poshut to the Gemara that the whole shiloh was only if they're facing opposite directions. Because if they're facing the same direction, then the two makom erva that are not wearing clothing is going to be touching. It sounds like then if they're facing opposite directions, then the makom erva is not going to be touching. Freit the Gemara, it's not true. L'chura, there's a makom erva behind the person also, right? The person's behind. So that's a makom erva. So the agavus that are touching, freit the Gemara, why isn't that an erva? So you should have the same halach. What's the difference if they're facing in the same direction or if they're facing the opposite direction? Isn't the agavus itself an erva? So the Gemara says, Misayele the Rafuna. This is a right to Rafuna. Rav Huna said, Agavus ein bahem mishom erva. Agavus is not really an erva. Leimim miseli the Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, this price seems to support Rav Huna. Can we bring a raya to Rav Huna from a Mishnah Masechtes Chala? Ishi Yeshevus v'koytzvah chalas arumos. The Mishnah is discussing a woman who's being mafresh chala and she wasn't wearing any clothing. And the Mishnah says it's okay. Now, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that when a woman's mafresh chala, she has to make a bracha. So to be mafresh chala, not wearing clothing, okay. But to make a bracha, you can't make a bracha if the makom erva is exposed. Stating that it's a Mishnah. Ha'isha yosheves v'koytzala chalasa aruma. She could be completely aruma and be mafresh chala. Why? Because as long as she's sitting on the ground, her makom erva is going to be covered. But the Mishnah says a man who could also be mafresh chala, usually women are, but a man certainly can. And as a result, a man wouldn't be able to, because if a man is sitting, it's going to be more complicated for the makom erva to be covered. What's the kasha? Bishloima, if the whole makom erva is in front. Okay, so that could be covered when a woman is sitting. But if agavus is also a makom erva, just because the woman's sitting, is the agavus going to be covered? So luchura lema misayeh le Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna said a chiddush, agavus ein behem yishom erva. The Gemara said the braisa that we just learned is a raya. This whole discussion between Shmuel and Rav Yosef and this the two braises that talk about two people that are lying, Zem Machzupon of Yikri Kirishma, Zem Machzupon of Yikri Kirishma, that's a raya that Agobas is Zem Ben Mishomer. Okay, we have a raya from two braises. Braises is not a Mishnah. Do we have a raya even from a Mishnah? This Mishnah, Mesech Tischala, at first glance it would seem it is, because if Agobas is an Erva, a woman sitting, Aruma should not be able to make a bracha on Afrosh Tischala, because how's the Agobas going to be covered? Tigmar Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, Kigoyin Shahayu Paneh, Tuchos Bekarka. No, it's possible that she was sitting in a way where her whole body was emerged or submerged in the ground, and as a result, even Agavos was covered. So you have no raya from here that Agavos is Ein Bahem Mishom Erva. Amar, the Braisa said, Am Hayubot of Nebe Zekhtana Mutter. We said that if someone's Yoshim Bemito, who's one of the two Braises that the Gemara brought, Ubanov Uvne Vesoy Betsidoi, Hareza Layikra Kriyashma, unless there was a Talos that was Mefsekis. Then the Braisa said, but if these bonov were ketanim, then it's okay. So says the Gemara, what's the definition of ketanim? It doesn't mean bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. Rather, what it means is tinoikis bashol shon v'yomechot, v'tinoik ben teshon v'yomechot. When you say it's okay, is if the girl is a ketanim, meaning she's less than 3 years old, or the boy is a katan, meaning he's less than 9 years old, that's when it's going to be okay. What's the significance of 3 and 9? Because that's mavur throughout Shas, that a ketana becomes a bas bia when she's 3 years old, a boy, a katan, becomes a barbia when he turns 9 years old. It's halacha l'moishim isina, it's one of the shiurim, but the point is that the iser is only once the child is already ro'i l'bia. But if the katan is less than 3, she's not a basbia, or the katan is less than 9, he's not a barbia, in that case it's going to be okay. Ikadami, some had a different age. Tinoikis bas yud alef shana v'yoyim echad. The ages of tinoikis, once she turns 11, not 12. Once she turns 11, she's already not a ketana, meaning she has to be younger than 11. V'tinoik ben shtema esrei shana v'yomechad. And a tinoik, it's from when he turns 12. Idi v'idi, and both of these, meaning 11 and 12 for a girl and a boy respectively, is related to ad kidei, what the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, shadayim nachoinu usa'orech, tzimeach. Meaning it's at that point that the boy and the girl start showing signs of puberty, and it's from then that this Isser is going to apply. It's interesting that we assume that a girl starts showing simonim of puberty when she turns 11, and a boy when he turns 12. We know the halacha is that a girl becomes bas mitzvah when she's 12. A boy becomes bar mitzvah when he's 13. And really, it has nothing to do with 12 and 13. Really, what it has to do with is simonim. Because a child becomes a gadol when they bring simonim shtei sairos. There's a chazaka derava, as the Gemara discusses in detail in Masechtas Nida, that a girl brings her shtei simanim when she turns 12, and a boy brings his shtei simanim when he turns 13. So usually you associate puberty for a girl with 12 and a boy 13. Here you have a sugya where it's not 12 and 13, rather it's 11 and 12. And the truth is, without going into this, there is a significance to the age 11 for a girl, and there is a significance to the age 12 for a boy. And that's in Hilchas Nedarim. There's a halacha of mufla samach lish, even though you have to be a gadol technically to be able to make a neder, but someone that's mufla, someone that's smart, the samach lish, and they're close to being a gadol already, at that point the neder is going to be a neder. Shailu, it's a deraisa, the rabbanan, rambam, raivit, major sugi in shas that comes up often. But the point is that there's a concept of a samach lish. A ketana becomes a samach lish when she's 11. A katan becomes a samach lish when he's 12. Either way, maybe this is more related to samach lish, but it's just interesting that the Gemara is associating this age with simanim, with this pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Shadayim nachoinu usa'orech tzimeach sa'orech. What type of hair? Pubic hair. That's usually the shtei sairos. That's the chazaka derava. That usually the ketana has to be a year older and the katan has to be a year older. Amalei Rav Kana, Rav Ashi, Hasam Amar Rava. Rava said in the previous sugya. So what was the previous sugya? Just to recount the Gemara on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amid Beis and on the top of Daf Chav Tal Amid Aleph. So the Gemara was discussing a halacha. Could somebody lie in bed ishtoi imoi and his tefillin is in the bed with him as well? And the Gemara said that Shmuel said that it's okay. And then the Gemara brought a braisa, and the Gemara said, Tufte de Shmuel Tufta, And then the Gemara said, "Amar Rav, Avgav Tanya Tiufte the Shmuel Hilchas Agavasi." The halacha is like Shmuel anyways, which is a chiddush, because the Gemara said Tiufte the Shmuel, but still the Gemara said that the halacha is going to be like Shmuel. So what was the question? Rav Kana asked Rav Hashi that in that sugya, Rav said that Avgav the Tiufte the Shmuel Hilchas Agavasi the Shmuel Hachamai. What about this halacha? Now, really, at first glance, these are two completely unrelated halachas. The tzadashava, the common denominator between the two halachas, is they both involve ishtayimai. But in one case, there's a halacha of ishtayimai regarding tefillin, being in the bed, and the other halacha of ishtayimai is regarding, could you just face the opposite direction and say krishma? But this is where Rav Kahana asked Rav Ashi. So he told him, amalei, otu kula b'chada machta machtino, because Rava one time said, that halacha is like Shmuel, that means the halacha is always going to be like Shmuel. Elehechad itma, I don't know if the halacha is like Shmuel here, but just because Rava said in the previous sugya that the halacha is like Shmuel doesn't necessarily mean that the halacha is going to be like Shmuel here as well. Amalei, Ramar, Lura, Papa, sar yoytzei bebigdoi mahu. So we're going to see, it's really tomorrow's daf. The Gemara talks about saying Kriyashma if you're in the presence of Erva. So if someone's in the presence of Erva, you can't say Kriyashma. So the Gemara's going to bring a few halachas that really relate more to an idea that we'll see more about tomorrow. But for now, Ramari asked Rapapa, is a pubic here, let's say one of the sairos, where yoitze of the beggar of the person, is that Erva? So that you can't say Kriyashma in the presence of that tzar? Karo, well, that's Rapapa told Ramari, sayer, sayer. Rashi says that was his way of saying, I don't hear the shayla. Meaning, it's posh, it's not. Amr Rav Yitzchok said, tefach bi'isha erfa. A tefach of a woman's skin that's supposed to be covered, that's now exposed, is considered erfa. Says in Marlamai, with regards to which halacha did Rav Yitzchok say this halacha? Ilei melestakulim, did he mean to say that you're not allowed to look, that there's an iser to look at a tefach of an isha that's supposed to be covered. That's considered erva. Rav Sheshes said, why did the Torah equate the tachshitim shebechutz with the tachshitim shebefnim? Now, the general context of what Rav Sheshes is referring to is Psukim in the Torah. The Pasuk says that after the Yidden fought against the Midyanim, so it says they took all the jewelry of the Midyanim women, and they brought it as a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's mavur, the reason they did it was is for kapara, because they were guilty at the time of the war for looking at the women in inappropriate ways and having bad machshavas, and the way that they were mechapa for that was they took all the jewelry and they gave it up. They gave it all away. Now, the Torah lists all the different items of jewelry. Now, some of the jewelry mentioned there was tachshitim shebefrim. Rashi quotes the kumas as one of the articles of jewelry that were mentioned there, and that was a piece of jewelry, like an earring, but a woman would put it ba'isa makim. Tachshitim shebefrim. It also mentions a bracelet, a necklace, tachshitim shebechutz. So Rav Sheshes was bothered. Lama mana kasef tachshitim shebechutz in tachshitim shebefrim. And really, the oimik of what bothered Rav Sheshes was that Bishloim and the Tachshit Shebefnim, I understand why they gave that back for Kapara, because that was the Avera. That was the inappropriate Machshava. But the Tachshit Shebechutz, what was inappropriate about that? Said Rav Sheshes, Loim Lachin, you know what it comes to show? That it's all inappropriate. That Kol HaMistakel, Be'etz Pektana Shalisha, Ki'ilu Mistakel B'Makam HaTarif. That if somebody looks even at the Etz Pektana of a woman, it's as if he looked B'Makam HaTarif. So what are you going to tell me? The Rav Yitzchuk said this halach of Tefach B'Isha Erva, he meant that there's an Issa to look, there's an Issa Estaklos, but that can't be, because Issa Estaklos is even the Etz Pektana. That's not a Makam Mechusa. So what did he mean? Ella, what he meant was Be'ishta. He meant even if the person is looking at his own wife, Uli Kriyishma, it's Negeya Hilchas Kriyishma. Meaning there's no Isser Estaklis if it's his wife. But what it means is that as it relates to Hilchas Kriyishma, you're not supposed to say Kriyishma in the presence of Erva. On that, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Tefach Be'isha Erva. Amr Abchizda, Shoik Be'isha Erva. Woman's star is considered an Erva. Shenemar, how do you know that? Because the Pasuk says, Gali Shoik Ivri Naharis. It's a Pasuk Itzefi Yeshaya. And the Pasuk means that sometimes you have to expose your thigh if you want to cross over a river. And the next pasuk says, "Uksiv tigol ervaseich v'gam teira acher pasuk." That by exposing your thigh, you're going to be uncovering your erva. So you see from there that a shaykh is the thigh is an erva. Amash Shmuel, kol biisha erva. A woman's voice is also an erva. Shenemar ki koylech arev umarech navi. What do you see from there? If it's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, if it's mentioned there, that means it's something that's chashuv in that sense, and as a result, it must be it's an erva. Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes said, Tzar b'isha erva, woman's here is also an erva. Shenemar, also a pasuk at Shir HaShirim that says, Sarich ke'eder ho'izim, your here is like a flock of goats. Again, clearly suggesting that a here is something special, and as a result, it would have a din of an erva exel, which is just one ha'ara before the Gemara shifts gears and gets into a whole nother topic of conversation, and that is the Gemara mentioned Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, "Kol amistako be'etzpe ketana shel isha." If somebody looks even at the pinky, an etzpe ketana of an isha, ki'ilu mistako b'makom ha'tayrif. Now, this line of Rav Sheshes is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's an Eben Ezer Simin Chav Aleph, stating that you have to know what mistako means. So, without going into it, but if you take a look in the Noida Yehuda in the Tzlach, and if you take a look at Rabbi Yaakov and Zagoyis here at Agoyis Yaivet, and there's a Magen Avraham and a Rechaim Sibit Kuf Chav Ches. We've spoken about this Me'inyan Le'inyan over the years. You have to define Mistakel a little bit better. But the point is, this is Rav Sheshes' halacha, and that is called a Mistakel be'etzpik tana shel isha ki'ilu Mistakel be'makam atarif. But just one ha'ara. You know, we speak out in the daf sometimes that often the Amiram said different statements. They said different mamorim, and it's not a coincidence which Amira said which statement in Shas. And if you know the rest of the story, it just gives you a little bit more richness in terms of the halacha itself. So who said, Kol ha-mistako be'etzpik tana shel isha, ki'ilu mistako b'makom ha-tayrif? It was Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, we know, was a suma. He was a saginar. There were two famous Amiraim that were blind. Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef. Stating that, there's the rest of the story. And that is, we mentioned already twice here, in the beginning of the 14th cycle of Daf Yomi, the Braisa that mentions Asorim Milu de Chasidus of Rav. So Rav, in addition to being one of the Gedolei Amiraim, he was also a Chassid. And the Chida in the Sefer Pesach Yenayim, in the end of Masechtas Menachos, quotes from Rashi Sefer HaPardes, who lists Asorim Milu de Chasidus, 10 Chumras, 10 mili de chassidus, that Rav was noyik. We mentioned the fact that Rav never went dalet amos b'lo tefillin. The Rambam says, Omra Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that no one ever saw him. That's his lashon. No one ever saw him go dalet amos without tefillin. We asked the kasha from a mefurish of Gemara, that Rav once said Kriya Shema without tefillin, and the Gemara said the shliach just didn't bring him his tefillin. The point is, Rav seemed to have been spotted not wearing his tefillin, which blatantly contradicts something that the Rambam says. Another one of the Asari Mil de Chassidus, that Rav was Noyig. Number 10, Shayu Koylev Arev. He had a beautiful voice. He was always a maturgamid. He used to say, the point is, Rav had a beautiful voice. Beschus Tfilas Rav. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh benching, and all the different tfilas that Rav composed. But it's here in the Asari Mil de Chassidus of Rav. It's the 10th Chumrah. It's the 10th Mil de Chassidus. But there's another two that are worth mentioning, and that is number 4. Again, counting from 1 to 10. Rav never looked to his sides. Number 5, afilu lufan of lehaya mabit. He never ever looked. The man da asi lekable. So much so that if somebody would come to Rav lehavi yodale, he didn't know who he was talking to. Ad shama kali. Unless he heard his voice, he had no idea who the person was. Says the chida, quoting from this brayso, the nog Rav Yosef, Rav Sheshes Acharov. The Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes, they were both talmidim of Rav. And after Rav passed away, they wanted to perpetuate Rav's memory. And the way they perpetuated Rav's memory is they decided they're going to take on this chumrah. So Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes both said, we're going to take on this chumrah of Rav. We're never going to look. We're not going to look anywhere. What happened? The Chidah says, again, quoting from Rashi, they couldn't. It was too hard. And they made themselves blind. So you want to know how Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes became the two Saginars? It's Mefurish in the Sefer HaParadis, as quoted by the Chidah, in Pesach Inayim, then the Masechtas Menachos. Because they took upon themselves this Chumrah, that they would never look. Period. Not just Dalet Amos. It says they were never going to look. Rav, when people came to him, even within his Dalet Amos, he didn't know who the person was, unless he heard the person's voice. Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes were the two Amayroim that took upon themselves to observe this Chumrah, and that they couldn't, And as a result, the Sibur was saying, now how they had a right to make themselves blind, that's something that's very, very tzarech bir. That is in and of itself something that needs to be understood, because the Gemara says in the end of Perek HaChayvel, and the Rambam quotes it in Perek Hey, Hilchas Chayvel Amazik, also la'adam lachbel beim ba'atzmai beim b'chaveiroi. A person's not allowed to be chayvel ba'atzmai. So I gave them a gerech to do that. So that's a whole nother discussion. But the point is, this is mefurish. Truth is, I found that this chiddush, that the chidah, which is favarfin, in Pesach Einayim, in the end of Masechtas Menachos, b'shem Rashi and Sefer HaParadis and Dritamul. This chiddush is mefurish in the Ran. The Ran is in the first parak in Masechtas Kedushin. The Ran is discussing a Gemara that everybody knows, where the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yosef." Okay, Rav Yosef was a Saginor, he was blind. He said, "Mereisha v'amina." I used to say, "Manda have a omali aloch k'Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, dama suvim pata v'na mitzvahs avinu yemitav l'rabban." I used to say that if somebody would tell me the aloch is like Rav Yehuda, that assume is pata v'na mitzvahs, I'd make a big party, I'd make a suda. Why? Because it comes out the way mifkedina. Comes that I'm not mechuyev to keep mitzvahs, and I do it anyways. I'm probably going to get so much schar. Behash the shamita l'adam Rabbi Chanino. But then I heard God on mitzvah voice, Yosef Misha, and mitzvah voice. So I realized if I'm potim and I'm mitzvahs, I'm going to get less schar. So now I hold fakert. If someone will tell me that loch is not like Rabbi Yehuda, avinu yemitav the rabbanon. The Yamshul Shloima Masechtas Bava Kama says this gemara is the makar to making a sudas bar mitzvah. And then he has issues with sudas bar mitzvah because we don't even know if the boy is really bar mitzvah. How do you know he has shtei sairis? So we spoke about that in Masechtas. But the point is that Yosef felt that Rav Yehuda's halacha of Suma Patam and HaMitzvahs applied to him, and depending on whether he would get more schar for being mitzvah v'aisa, more schar for any mitzvah v'aisa, that was going to dictate whether he would make us suda had he found out the halacha is like Rav Yehuda or the halacha is not like Rav Yehuda. The Ran has a very, very long discussion where he discusses the shita's Rav Yehuda that a Suma's Patam and HaMitzvahs. Again, Chere Shaita V'katam and Patam and HaMitzvahs. What about a Suma? Suma's Chayiv HaMitzvahs. Rav Yehuda has a shita, it's cher shayta katam v'sum, that assumes patam and amitzvahs. Says the Ran, according to Rav Yehuda, that assumes patam and amitzvahs. Is that only a suma made kara? Somebody that was blind a suma? Born a suma? What happens if somebody was born and he was able to see? And then Loyoleno, he became a suma later on in life. Would he be patam and amitzvahs or not? And that's the whole arichas of the Ran. Says the Ran, I have a raya. Void. The Rav Yosef, pasuach v'nestam. Rav Yosef himself, who's the Marid Shmaitza, who steltsu this, yeah, Alachik Rabbi Yehuda, Nishta Alachik Rabbi Yehuda, he himself wasn't born blind. The Amrina Ba'agada, because I found in a Dvar Agada, the Somi Nafshe, that the way Rabbi Yosef became blind was he made himself blind. Because he couldn't see outside of his Dalet Amis. And he held Rabbi Yehuda's Alach applied to him. Elevadai, Afilu the Rabbi Yehuda, Vaistais, that Rabbi Yehuda's Alach is true, even for somebody that wasn't born blind. But the point is, it's a Mefurish Ram, where the Ram brings this. It's a coming full circle. Who said this halacha? Kala mistako be'etzbektana shal isha kilu mistako b'makam atayrif. It's Rav Sheshes. This is Rav Sheshes l'shitas. It's pashut. Again, it just enriches the halacha. Rav Sheshes was someone who had taken upon himself not to look outside his dalet amos, who with the girsa that the chidah has, maybe not even to look anywhere. Even if somebody was in front of him, he didn't look at that person. The point is, it was obviously a zehirus. It was a shmira yisera in terms of these isurim of istaklus. Rav Sheshes is the marid de shmeitza bekula talmuda who said, "Kala mistako be'etzbektana shalisha kiilu mistako b'makam atayr." Weiter, sagt die Gemara, Rav Chanino, Aniro Yisi, I once saw as Rebbe, as in Rabbeinu Kodosh, shetolot tefillah, that he took his tefillin off, and he suspended them. So this is going back a little bit to the sugyas that we had in the previous daf, which talks about if someone has to go to the bathroom to take his tefillin off, what should he do? Should he bring his tefillin in? Gedolim ktanim, beis akisei kavua, beis akisei ktan, beis akisei aroi, beis shamai, beis hillel, all the different variables. Again, returning to that sugya. Rav Chanina said, I once saw a Rebbe take his tefillin off, and he hung it from a hook. Meisvei feit the Gemara, you can't do that. Atoilet tefillin of a brisa says, if somebody hangs his tefillin, yitulei chayiv, his life is going to be hanging. Meaning, it's not good. Dorshe Chamurois, or Rashi's Gershza, is Dorshe Rishumais Amru, that the Pasuk says, Vahoya Chayecha Kluin Lachami Neged, Zatoyla Tfilov, that if somebody hangs his tfilin, literally, his life is going to be hanging. So, when we say it's not okay for a person to hang his tefillin, it's talking about you hanging it from the ritzuas. So the batim are swinging. The batim are on the bottom. That's not okay. If, however, the batim are on top and it's just the ritzuas that are hanging, that's okay. That's what Rabbi did. Meaning both of those are not okay. Aser v'chitala Rebbe. What did Rebbe do? Bekisses atala. It was in his talis zekel, and that's how it was like. Oh, that's fine. Meaning he didn't simply take his tefillin outside of the bottom and hang it. That wouldn't be fine. This is what he did. Ihachi feitu what my lemem. What was the chiddush? So the Mara says, you know, the chiddush was ma'adu teima. I would have thought he bayi hanocha kisefer Torah. Kamash one. Sefer Torah is not allowed to hang. Sefer Torah needs hanocha. Right? It has to be on something, standing up or lying down, but it has to be directly on karka of some sort, on a hard surface. To hang it and suspend it, you would have thought maybe it's not okay, like a Sefer Torah. That was the Chiddush. I'm Rab Chanina. So on the topic of what Rab Chanina observed from Rebbe, that at first glance seems a little controversial. So again, we digress from our digression. And you right, UCS Rebbe, I once saw Rebbe Shegiek. So Rashi says that he belched. Rashi's lashon is Pamim Sha'adam Moitzi Migufay Lepiv. Neficha mitoich soiva, a person's very full. So a neficha comes from his stomach to his mouth. Verecha kareach hamaychol sha'acha, and it smells like the food that he ate. Self-explanatory. So that's what giek means. Ufihek, he yawned. Venesatesh, he sneezed. Verak, he spit. Umemashvesh bebigdai, he removed a louse from his clothing. Rebbe would do this while he was davening Shemayna Esrei. But if Rebbe's talus fell off while he was davening Shemayna Esrei, he wouldn't put it back on. And when he would yawn, he would cover his mouth. Okay, this is what Rab Chanina saw. Freak the Gemara, can't be. If someone's davening, Pasha, we're talking about Shemayna Esrei, and he davens a hoicha Shemayna Esrei, but he's supposed to be davening a still a Shemayna Esrei, right? It means it's a sign that he doesn't have real Amun and Hashem. Rashi says, because he's acting, he's acting as if Hashem doesn't hear him if he whispers. As a result, he has to scream if Hashem's going to listen to him. He's Miktani Amono. If somebody davens loud, he's like the Nevi'e Sheker. How do you know that? Rashi says, because the Pasuk says, by the Nevi'e Habal Vayikru B'Kol Gadol, they were making koilas. So if you're davening loud, it's Ketani Amono, it's Nevi'e Sheker. Okay, that's not the part of the Brisa that we need. We need the next part. Megayik U'methayik, if somebody either belches or yawns, Hareza Megasar Ruach, it's Gaiva. HaMesatnesh B'Tfilos, if somebody sneezes, Simin Rala, it's a bad sign. V'yeshamim, some say Nikur Shehu Mechur, similar idea. If somebody spits while he's davening, it's as if he's spitting standing in front of the king. He's standing in front of the melech. So we have here, everything Rebbe did seems to be contradicted. The stira between belching and yawning. Rebbe did it. The Brisa seems to say it's not okay. Okay, kanlo, it's a kanlo tzaynai. When we say it's gasi ruach, that's if a person does it on his own volition. Rebbe, it happened. Ela mesatish, amesatish kasha. But what about sneezing? So maybe he sneezed loinus also. Rashi says, ein itush ela loinsoi. It's always loinus. Meaning maybe he did it willingly. It's never willingly. It's always loinus. So how do you answer the stira? Rebbe sneezed, and in the Brisa it says, hamesatish bitfilosai simin raloi. What Rebbe was mechur. So what does that mean? Zokti Gemara, misatis, amisatis, nami lekasha, kan mil maila, kan mil mat. There's two types of sneezing. There's sneezing mil maila, that's what we call sneezing. Mil mat is if somebody passes gas. And that's what's considered mechur or simin rally. That's obviously not what Rebbe did. Amrav Zera, ha milsa ivlo li be Rav Amnuna. I heard this by Rav Amnuna, but kilali kikula talmidai. And it's so chashev by me that it's worth as much as everything else I ever learned. What did he hear? That was so exciting. Ha misatish bit filosoi, simin yafa lo. If somebody sneezes while he's davening, it's a simin yafa. Why? Geshem she oysen lo nachas ruach mil mata, kach oysen lo nachas ruach mil maila. That when a person sneezes, it's geshmak. So just like he has a geshmak here, it means oisun loy nachas ruach memaila el rock arokash. So the Gemara was able to figure out everything. We have a teretz to the fact that Rebbe was megayik u'mefayik. Ah, you're not supposed to. It happened loyness. It's not okay if you do all the rotten. Misatish ha misatish nami loy kasha hamil mala hamil mata. But the question is, what about rock arok? So the Gemara says rock arok nami loy kasha efshikid Rebbe Yehuda. Could be Rebbe did what Rebbe Yehuda said you're supposed to. I'm Rebbe Yehuda. I'm a bit feeling this nami loy roik. If someone's a middle davening shemayn esrei, all of a sudden he has to spit. Mavliya betalisa. So you should just spit into your talus. The talus, no. What if you have a nice talus? Tashai natuda. So you don't want to do it in your talus. Mavliya ba'afrika susai. So you should put it in your handkerchief. Ravina havikoya. Ravina was once standing behind Ravashi, Nizdamalai Roik. And Ravashi, as he was davening Shemayna Esrei, suddenly had Roik. So Poski Lachairis, he turned around. I guess that's how Ravina saw. So he turned around and he took it out there. Amalei. Why are you doing that? I thought you're supposed to put it in your handkerchief. Amalei. So he told me, no, Anina Datoi. He says, I'm an Oinate. I'm an istinus, like Rabbi Gamliel. He said, I'm an istinus, and as a result, I'm not comfortable. So we brought this last braisa that discussed a whole bunch of halachas regarding tefillah, more for the latter part. Megayek, umefayek, and mestatesh, and rock. But what was the opening lines of the braisa? Hamashmiya koila bitfilosoi, hareze miktani amono. Hamagbiya koila bitfilosoi, hareze minaviye shaker. Says the Gemara on that note. Omar Rav Huna Rav Huna said, Loi chonu elosh yochel chavin, eslibay belachish. This is only true if the person's able to have kavana when he davens belachash, but let's say you can't daven belachash. I mean, it's hard for you to have kavano if you say it belachash mutter. Then it's okay to daven shemayn esri a little bit louder. This is only true if you daven in biyachidus. I mean, everyone's davening a shtol shemayn esri, and you can't have kavano, so you're going to start davening louder. Obviously, you're going to confuse everybody. That's not going to be okay. Rab Abba have a kamishnamet mineder Rab Yehuda. Rab Abba was once trying to avoid Rab Yehuda. Daven kaboy lemesik laret Yisrael. Rab Abba wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to leave Babel. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. The problem is, Rav Yehuda wasn't going to let him go. Dami Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda said, "Kol ha'olam mi Babel Eretz Yisrael." Everybody say, if somebody goes from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he's over Basay. What's the assay? Shenemar bravelo yuvo. They're going to go to Babel. V'shamo yil. They're going to remain there. Ad yoyim pakti oisam no mashem until the day I redeem you. So Rav Yehuda held that if someone's living in Babel, he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, he's over Basay. This Gemara is verbatim in Masechtas Ksubis, Daf Kuf Yud Amid Beis, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. The other Gemara says Reb Zera wanted to go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and again he tried avoiding Reb Yehuda. So this was Reb Yehuda Shita. Reb Yehuda held, you can't go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. So just the context. The context, these are the Yidden, they're living in Babel. These are the Amayram. This is hundreds of years after Churban Bayesheni. And Reb Yehuda had a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where the Pasuk says, you're going to go to Babel, V'shama Yiyu, you're going to remain there, Ad Yoyim Pakti Yoyisam Nom Hashem, until the Geula happens. And as a result, we have to remain here. Now, at first glance, this drosha, it's Tzorech Ian Gadol Merav Senigri Hashem Yareina. It doesn't make any sense. Why? Number one, if you open up a Nach, what does the Pasuk say? Bavelo Yuvo. The Pasuk talks about the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kalim were all taken by Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzrad, and they were brought to Bavel. And the Pasuk says, Bavelo Yuvo, they're going to be there. Ad Yoyim Pakti Yoyisam Nom Hashem. There's the Kasha. The Tzvei Tekasha is, this was Golas Bavel. The Yoyim Pakti Nom Hashem happened already. The Yidden were in Babel for 70 years. Then they were redeemed. They went there to Israel. They had the second base on Mikdash for 420 years. Then it was destroyed by the Romans. And then they were in Golis already a few hundred years later. This is a Meister Geula happened hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. You know, ask this Kasha. Tois asks the Kasha. Tois and Mesechtes Ksubis Tav Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph asks this Kasha. For a Tois, this Pasuk happened. This was Churban Bayis Rishon. The Yom Pakti happened at the end of Golas Bavel. Why are we still talking about the Yom Pakti Yosom No Mashem? The Tosfos just says, the Yishloimar, maybe Rav Yehuda held that this is Negei of Bayisheni also. Tosfos is very, very sassum. Tosfos doesn't explain it. The whole Tosfos is three words. He doesn't say what the Teretz might be. We've spoken in the past, for Ein Kam Mekoymoi, that you see from here, this is just another one of the proofs, one of the exhibits, that Bayisheni was never the Geula. That even though there was a second Beis HaMikdash, who was never viewed by Chazal as the Yom Pakti Yosem Nom Hashem. The Gemara says in Yom HaFalaf HaMaralaf, there were five things that were missing in Bayesheni that we had over Bayesheni. There was no Arun, there was no Shechina. We didn't have the Urim V'Tumim. There were so many things that we didn't have. Bayesheni was a replacement, so to speak. It was the best option that we had. It was an interim option. It was a band-aid. But it wasn't really the Yom Pakti Yosem Nom Hashem. The Ritva says in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah that the Yidden used to fast Tisha B'Av during Bayesheni. If you think about it, what do you mean? How do you fast Tisha B'Av during Bayesheni? Tisha B'Av is Churban Beis HaMikdash. We have the Beis HaMikdash. Why are we fasting? They were still fasting on Churban Bayis Rishon. Because Bayesheni was never a replacement of Bayesheni was never a replacement of Bayis Rishon. The point is this pasuk that says, V'shama yiyu ad yoyim pakti oisom no'um Hashem, the yoyim pakti didn't happen yet, Rabbi Yehuda held. He held, that's going to happen, then here be a main or main. But at that point, it didn't happen, regardless. Digress. Rab Abba wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he couldn't get zeigitzach with the Rebbe because he couldn't go into Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda held that you're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Amar, he said, I'm not going to get zeigitzach, but I want to hear one last shir. Amar, ezel ve'eshma minei milsa mi beis vada. I'll stand by the door. I don't want him to see me. No eye contact. But let me at least hear what he has. There was a Tana that was talking and learning in front of Rav Yehuda. He told him as follows. If someone's middle davening, v'nes atesh, and he was nes atesh, he sneezed, but not mil maila, mil mata. So there's a bad smell. smell. Mamtin ad shichalu aruach, he should wait until the smell passes. V'chayz a mispal, and then continue davening. Ikadami, some say, hey, I'm in betfilo. If someone's davening, ubikesh lesatesh, and he feels the urge, he has to be mesatesh, again, no matter. Marchik la'achiv dal amis, he should walk back for amis, umisatesh. Wait until it passes. V'choize, they go back to where you were, and you should physically walk. U'mespala, you should say the following tefillah. V'oimer, ribayne shaloylam, yitzartonu nekovim nekovim, chalulim chalulim. So this is a variation of Asher Yotzar. Golev yadu lefanecha, cherpaseinu uchlimaseinu. He says, Hashem, you know, who are we, that we sometimes are in embarrassing situations. B'chayenu v'achriseinu nira mitaylea, u'mascha machshupasa, you should pick up where you left off on Malay, regardless. So Rabbi Abba said, Ilu loy bossi elu l'shmaya davar zeh. Not dayenu, because it's b'loshen yachid, but dayi. That's the singular version of dayenu. He said it would have been kedai, just to hear this one halacha excel. So just one more ha'ara, and that is, the Gemara had mentioned Derek Agav, but mentioned it nonetheless twice. Hamashmiya koiloi bitfilosai hareza miktani amona. Hamagbiya koiloi bitfilosai. So if somebody davens instead of belachash, which is the way you're supposed to daven, but he decides he wants to daven out loud, why is it so bad? Someone davens instead of whispering Shemayin Esrei, he says it a little bit loud. He's miktani amona. So Rashi says, yeah, because ki'ilu, he's acting as if in HaKadosh Baruch Hu shemei tefila belachash, as if Hashem needs you to talk. You know, I can't hear you. What do you mean Hashem can't hear you? Hashem's everywhere. He's in your heart. B'vavi mishkan evna. So what do you have to daven loud for? So that your act, the physical act of davening loud, hareze biktani amoni. The truth is that this idea of tefillah belachash is mentioned in a few places in Shas. The Gemara, we'll see this in the coming dafin, Masechtas Brachos, daf lamed aleph, lamed aleph, discusses tefillah schana. So Chana didn't have any children, and she davened for a son, for Shmuel. And the Gemara says, Omer Rav Hamnuna, kame hilchaso gavroso iko lemishma mihani kroy de Chana. There are many halachos, halacha lemaisa in hilchas tefillah, that we can learn from Chana. It says, v'chana hi medaberes alibo, mikan lemispal tzorach sheichav en libo. We learn from there that when you daven, it has to be medaberes alibo. It has to be avoid salev. You have to have kavana when you daven. Raks fasel nois. Her lips were moving. We learn from there. Mikan lemispalo sheyachta v'svasav. You have to move your lips. Hirer lav kedibur dami. So you have to move your lips when you daven. V'koyla lo yishamea. It says that Eli couldn't hear her voice. Mikan, you learn from there. Sha'aser lahagbia koyla b'tfilasay. That it's also for a person to raise your voice when you're davening. Meaning you have to daven balachash. So what the Gemara over here said on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, that if somebody davens and he's mashmiya koyla, he's magbia koyla, hareze miktani amono, hareze minaviyei sheker, in the Gemara, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, the Gemara doesn't say it misvara, but then the Gemara brings a pasuk. We learn it from Chana. Kama hilchaso gavroso ikala mishmi mehani kroi de Chana. And this is one of the halachas. The halachas that when a person davens, he's supposed to daven belachash. There's a third Gemara. There's a Gemara mesech de soita, daf lamed beiz amed beiz. Omer Rab Yoichanan, mishum Rab Shimon bar Yochai. Mipnei ma tiknu tefila belachash. Why the Chama make it takana that when you daven Shemayin Esrei, you daven belachash? Says the Gemara, shloi levayish es oivre aveira. So you shouldn't embarrass a bal aveira. Sharei leicholak hakosem mokim mein chatos lo'ilo. The chatos was brought betzofoin, northern part of the Azara. The Oila was brought Bitsafi in the northern part of the Azara. Now the Chatos was brought when you headed to an Avera. Oila was a Dairi and it was brought as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chatos and the Oila are brought in the same place. You know why? It's like this, if someone has to bring a carbon Chatos, people will think maybe he's really bringing an Oila. Shaloila Vayish is Balavera. So we don't want to embarrass the Balavera. That's why the Chatos and the Oila are in the same place. That's why you daven Tefila Balachash. You know why you daven Tefila Balachash? Shaloila Vayish is Balavera. Because if a person was supposed to daven loud, he'd come to Slachlonu, Hashivenu, Shemeat you know, his own tefillahs that he says, basu de tzloise, you know, you start knowing, vos titzich bayem in hearts, and that's private, that's personal. So, shaloi levayish is over yaveira, it's for that reason. You know, Rashi says in Pirkei Avos, we know one of the miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash was that oimden tzfufin, umishtachfin revachim. Why did that miracle happen? Why? So, pashit, it should be geshmak. When you go kairim, take out your papers, it should go geshmirt. Rashi says no. Rashi says the reason is because when people were mishtachave, they would start crying to Hashem. They were mizvada. There was a miracle that happened that everyone was protected like this. You weren't able to hear what the other person was saying. That's the rest of the story. That's why they were umden svufim umeshtachavim revachim. But al kopon, we have three gemaras. You have a gemara on daf lamed aleph lamed aleph that says that why do we daven tefillah belachash? It's learned out from Chana. It's a posik kame hilchas a gavrosa. I learned out from Chana. We have the gemara by us right here. Daf chav dalar amid beis. So why do you have to? Daven tefillah belachash. It's because hamashmiya koiloi harezem miktane amana harezem neviyah shek. And you have another gemara here, soita daf lamed beis, where the gemara said Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rashbi mepneimatik nu tefillah belachash shaloi levayish it's over averus. You shouldn't embarrass people like this. You could daven yishmaya esrei. No one has to know what yishmaya esrei is. I saw the Maariv Tzchios on this gemara says, who did Rabbi Yochanan say it over in the name of? Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. This is Rab Shimon Bar Yochai L'shitasai. We know Rab Shimon was Dairish time of the Kra. And Stam Rab Shimon in Shas was Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. Says the Maratzchias in his Agoyes. He said, this is Rab Shimon Bar Yochai L'shitasai. Rab Shimon Bar Yochai in Soit Alam at Beis Amad Beis, who said the reason that Yidavin Tefillah Balachash is Shaloi Levayash is Oivri Aveira, he was being Dairish time of the Kra. Not a pasuk in Chamishei Chumshei Torah, a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, the pasuk in Maftechana. That's what he was coming to. That's what he was being doirish. That why was it, or why is it that you're supposed to daven Balachash the Gemara in Brachus Lamed Aleph says it's learned out from a pasuk. But why? What's the time of the Kra? It's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai L'shitasai. But the problem is we have two time. We have the time here in Soita Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, and we have the time in today's staff. Brachus staff Chav Dalet Lamed Beis. If you take a look at the Mashal Chedushi Agodas in Soita Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, could be here too. I didn't see it here, but in Soita Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, the Mashal asks the Stira Ayin Sham. He says a teretz, but just two ha'aris as relates to this. Actually, one the halacha. And then some ha'aris. So as it relates to the halacha, so this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Obviously, everybody knows this. You daven Shmoyin Esrei. You're supposed to daven Belachash. And it's brought down in Hilchas Tefillah in Simin Kuf Aleph, Sivkotin Beis. The Mechaber says, Lo yispalo beliboy levad. A person shouldn't just daven beliboy. And all the Noisa Kalim say, why? We just learned the Gemara. It's a Mishnah daf chof on the base. Hira lav kiti berdami. So when you daven shmein esrei, you can't just daven believe. Ella mechate chadvarim besvasov. You have to say the words umashmiel laoznav belachash, and you should hear what you're saying. Meaning you should whisper it, but you should hear the whisper, right? If you whisper loud enough, you actually could hear your whisper. But don't daven too loud. You can't have kavan if you daven belachash. What's the makar to that? Our Gemara. That's only if you daven in biyachidus. You can never daven out loud. Because you're going to confuse everybody. What's the makar to that? That's also our Gemara. But the Mechaber brings this halacha. And again, you have to be medayik every word carefully. Le'yispalo beliboy levad. By the way, why levad? Because of course you have to be mispalo beliboy. Tefillah is avoyda shabaleh. But shouldn't only be beliboy. But you also have to daven beliboy. Ela mechate chadvarim besvasav. You should move your lips, say the words, umashmir la'oznav belachash. And you should hear the words that you say. The Mishnah Berurah brings from all the Noisa Kalim, the Magen Avraham, everybody quotes a Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar says, no. That when a person daven Shmoyin Esrei, you shouldn't hear your whisper. If you whisper and you can hear what you're saying, you're davening too loud. But rather, what you're supposed to do is you should just move your lips, as opposed to hear her. You shouldn't be standing and not moving lips at all. So you say the words, but you shouldn't even hear your whisper. And he brings the Yesha Kosfu, there are those that said that even though the Mechaber says you should hear the very least what you're whispering, but we should conduct ourselves like the Zohar HaKadosh, that you shouldn't hear your words as well. And then he brings that, what's the bottom line? The Magen Avraham, and the Vilna Gaon, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and the Chai Yodam all say, go like the Mechaber, that you should hear, that you should whisper. Now, l'maisa, most people don't whisper. Meaning, usually, if you're standing next to somebody, daven Shmoyin Esrei, you don't hear him whispering, because if he heard his whisper, you'd probably also hear his whispering. So, especially in a tzekvetshta beis medrash, where you're oivdim tzfufin. So, you usually don't hear what the person next to you is saying. L'maisa, Mishnah Berurah says, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what the Mechaber paskins, and that's what the Magen Avraham says, and the Vilna Gaon, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and the Chai Yodam. So, any direction you turn, it sounds like they're going to tell you that this is what you're supposed to do. So, the answer is really based on the next Mishnah Berurah. Because Mishnah Berurah says afterwards that the only time this is okay is if nobody's gonna hear you. But if anybody will hear you, even the person next to you, that's already too loud. So if you're diving in a place where the person next to you won't hear you, so the katchila, you should hear what you're saying. Just don't make too much noise. But if you're diving in a place where if you whisper, the person next to you is going to hear you, so in that case, the halacha is that it's really not going to be okay. But there's another halacha right here in Hilchas Tefillah. But before that halacha, just one very brief introduction. And that is that the Gemara says, we just mentioned the story of Chana, So Chana davened, and she was davening for Shmuel, and we learned many halachis from Chana, and the pasuk says Eli saw Chana davening. And what was Eli's reaction when he saw Chana? Vatechashvelo shikaira. Eli thought that she was a sheker. She thought she was drunk. Why did she think that? Why did he think she was drunk? So Tzidua, the Vilna Gaon, said that Eli didn't know who Chana was. He was very confused. So he went to the Urim V'Tumim and he asked the Urim V'Tumim, tell me, who's Chana? So the Urim V'Tumim, what happened when you would ask the question? So letters would start lighting up. So he saw the light. He saw the shin, the kaf, the resh, and the hey. And Eli interpreted it as meaning shikaira. And that's why Vayichashva Eli was shikaira. Eli thought she was a shikker, because that's what the Urim V'Tumim told her. But says the Vilna Gaon that Eli made a mistake, because he scrambled the words the wrong way. The Urim V'Tumim wasn't saying shikaira, it was saying kshera. That's what it was saying. It's the same letters. So he thought shikaira, really it was kshera. Vayichashva Eli was shikaira. Why is shikaira? Shikaira, because those were the words that lit up. It was shin kaf reishe. He thought shikaira, really it was kshera. But if you take a look at Rashi in Sefer Shmuel. So Rashi says, you know why Vayichashve Eli the shikaira? Because she was davening and her lips were moving, but she wasn't making any noise. He said, what's going on over here? Usually if your lips move, you hear the person. She couldn't hear anything. And being that he couldn't hear, so he assumed that she must be a shikar. The Marsha right here, Chedushei Agadas. Right here, as in Brachas Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, brings this Rashi, and the Marsha says, "A pella, I don't understand how you read this Rashi." The Gemara says, "Kame Hilchas Gavrosa Ikol Mishme Mehani Kroy Dechana." That means when Chana davened that way, she was davening the way you're supposed to daven. And if that's the case, presumably that's the way everybody daven. Well, Chana was mechadish that this is the way you daven. This isn't Chana's chiddush. We learned it from Chana, but this is not Chana's chiddush. So if that's the case, if everybody daven this way, so hadra kushul aduchte. So why then did Eli think that Chana was a shikar? That's the Marsha's kasha right here in Chedushei Agadas. So I'll say a beautiful teretz that I saw in the Megadim Chadashim for Rav David Yoel Weiss on this Gemara right here. Daf Lamed Aleph. He says pshat based on a Shloh HaKadosh, and really it's a Gemara Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph. When do we lay mafta Chana? On Rosh Hashanah. Why on Rosh Hashanah? It's based on a Gemara. The Gemara says be Rosh Hashanah nifkedacha. Chana was nifkida by Rosh Hashanah. The Shlach Kodesh says, you know what that means? This story happened on Rosh Hashanah. You want to know when this story happened? What does nifkida mean? Right? What does nifkida? That's when she became pregnant. What does it mean, nifkida? This story, as I state in Shlach, happened on Rosh Hashanah. So this story happened on Rosh Hashanah. Says with W.O.I.S., I'm going to tell you pshat. If you take a look in Hilchas Tefillah, so we just read, Simin Kuf Aleph Sivkot and Beis, Voshtein Sivkot and Gimel, Yesh Oimrim, Sheber Rosh Hashanah V'yom Kippur, Mutil Hashmiya Koyman B'Tefillah, Afilu B'Tzibah. This is all, when do you have to daven B'Lachash? That's only on a regular day. But there's 3 days of the year where this is not the halacha. The 2 days Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yesh Oimrim. Sheber Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur. Mutal Hashmiya Koyman B'Tfilah Afilu B'Tzibur. If this story happened on Rosh Hashanah, that's why Eli was confused. Eli knew there's something called the Shtilu Shmein Esrei. But Eli said, it's Rosh Hashanah. Nobody davens this way Rosh Hashanah. So must be she's a Shikaira. So you learn from here the concept of Tfilah B'Lachash. That's Kame Hilchas HaGavrosa that we learn from here. But you want to know the Terence to the Mashal's Kasha said with David Yoel Weiss. That's the Pshat. The Pshat is Vayichashvel, but just one last daughter. So why is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur different? What's the difference? Why Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? We just learned the Gemara. Is it Miktani Amana? You're from the Nevi Yashaker. We just had so many different Pshatim. So the Pashim Pshat is, you have to have Kavan, it's Meir Kavan. The Pashim Pshat is the Pashim Pshat. But I'll tell you something interesting. Really, this whole halacha of Tefillah B'Lachash, I raise the Miktani Amana, Rashi says, because you're acting as if the Ebeshah doesn't hear you, at first glance, it's Tzorach in Gadol. Why? Because there's so many psukim in Nach that talk about how people needed to daven to Hashem vayizaku, and they scream vayitzaku. What do you mean? I thought it's miktani amar. So you'll tell me there's only Shmai Nasra. Okay, I hear, but let's be Dairish time in the Kra, like Shmai Baichoy. I don't understand. Why should it only be by Shmai Nasra? What's the, you know who asks this kasha? The Mabit. I found that the Mabit asks this kasha. In Shara Tefillah, in Perek Vav. This is a nice smart makam. The Mabit in Shara Tefillah, Perek Vav. V'yikshalozeh. He brings this halacha. He says, V'yikshalozeh. He says, I don't understand it. Mimashem matzonu bekama mekoy meis inyan ha-tefillah b'loshen tza'aka. Shehu ha-romais ka'al. And he brings examples. K'moishem matzonu l'moishem. V'yitzak moishem el Hashem al dvar ha-tzvardim. Last week's parasha. Moishem Rabbeinu daven for the tzvardeya. Get rid of the tzvardeya. He didn't just daven. V'yitzak moishem. V'yitzak moishem el Hashem lemer. When Miriam was sick, so Moishem Rabbeinu daven the tefillah kitzara, the shortest tefillah ever. What was that tefillah? Kel na. Refa nala.
Ubi Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. Again, Klal Yisrael, Vanitzak al Hashem, Vayishma koilenu. He says in Sefer Shoftim, it says four times, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael. Shmuel Hanavi, Vayitzak al Hashem kol alaylo. V'chein bekamim mekoymes b'tehillim. One example, Zo'akti eilecha Hashem. I don't understand, why are they screaming? Why are you davening? I thought there's an idea of Ketanei Amana. Says the Mabit, who of course was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef and Arizal and Rav Shlomo Alkabetz. He was from the Gedoyim that lived in Tzfas during that Kufa. So the Mabit said, V'nucha loy mar b'teretz zeh. You know what I think the teretz is? Loy kasha. There's two types of tefillos. There's the regular tefillah that a person davens. You daven be'erev, be'boiker, be'tzarayim, you daven shachris, you daven mincha, you daven ma'irev, you daven shmeresrib, sukkot, dezimra, pechas, kriyashma. Those tefillos are supposed to daven balachish. And suddenly, Mr. Brewer says that even though this halach and simon kufalev is really only negeya, shmeresrib, but I'll quote, "Va'afilu be'psukah dezimra toiv shaloi laharim koil." The same idea. Ka'kodesh baruch hu shemei belachash. Loi ka'oisa ma'magbiim koilam yoisur midai. He says, "Miu b'shabbes maybe it's different." But he says this. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Beforeish, they've caught in Zion right there. It's simon koval. But says the Mabit, this is only true for tefilos that you daven every day. But then there's another type of tefilah. Avolat tefilos shemispalim be'esat sara v'atzar. But if a person davens be'esat sara, or if a person's be'esat sara, the yidden are coming to the yamtzuk. And they start screaming. Moshe Rabbeinu is davening for Miriam because she was a chayla. Vayitzak Moshe Hashem leimar kel na refon ala. David HaMelech says zoakti eilecha Hashem. That wasn't shachris. That wasn't mincha mayrev. That was a tefillah based tzara. When a person is in a tzara and in a tzad, then it's nothing to scream. And that's why you find throughout Sefer Tehillim that David HaMelech is screaming tefillah, because that's a different type of tefillah. That's in a tzara. That's in a tzara. It could be that's the difference. It could be, you're right, a regular tefillah, and what we daven the whole year, these are regular tefillahs. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, even the regular tefillahs, the tefillah of an eis tzar and eis tzar. The Gemara says, you don't say halal Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why not? Because Sifrei Chayiv, the Sifrei Mason, Psuchim, V'atam Oimrim Shira, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is the zman of the din, of the chesimah sadin. Ein locha eis tzar v'tzar gedoyla mizu. So maybe that's the pshat. Says the Mechaber, oh, this already is a bechina of eis tzar and eis tzar. Is Yesh Oimrim. She'll be Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur, Mutal HaShmiya, Koylam B'Tfilo, Afilo B'Tzibo.